2024, and wow, what a bunch of weird stuff going on. I mean, I've seen some really crazy, weird reports that Biden hasn't been seen, and all kinds of crazy stuff like that. And wow, we'll see what comes of it, right? But Biden's out and the camel's in. And what an embarrassment. That old nasty whore up there running for office. That old nasty wicked whore up there. How nasty. How absolutely disgusting and gross is that? Yep. Slept her way to the top all the way up there. And now she's up there and they're going to try to install her. I really don't think they're going to. I think they're going to install Trump. That's what I really believe. I could be wrong, but I don't know. When you want to get the New World Order going real good, you put in a fascist. You put in a right-wing conservative fascist. And that really pushes the New World Order's plan along. So, you know, that's really the name of the game when you're trying to do that. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I don't think Michelle Obama's running for office at all. I don't even think that's even remotely going to happen. I don't think so. I'm not convinced that's even part of the game. But who knows? Could be. But I think Trump is the Phoenix rising, and I think they need the fascist. They need that fascism in there. That fascism always pushes the New World Order's agenda along the way. Boy, this one's done pretty well on Sermon Audio. Guess it got some attention from some people. That's not the only one. I've got two more to post up there. I'll post another one up there tonight. But on Trump, we've done a few broadcasts on the Trump issue directly. But more to come for sure when it comes to that. However, I hope you had a good weekend, and we're still trying to get everybody healthy here. Actually, I'll be honest with you, because of the way it is in our little building there, I'm about ready to have church out on my property on Sunday. To be outside in the sun. And who cares if you got a cold? You're out in the sun anyway. The air's blowing. You got, I don't know. I'm thinking about doing it. So, I mean, practically everybody's got a cold anyway. So it's just going around. It's going to be bright and sunny, I think, on Sunday. So that's what I'm thinking about doing. All right. White House physician says Biden's okay. He's doing good. Nothing wrong with that fella. Right? So, you can all rest easy now. Biden's okay. Boy, we saw a lot of weird stuff, didn't we, on Friday? What a bunch of weirdos. We saw Hulk
and now
Hogan.
We have.
Man, that was weird. Frankie Graham. All kinds of weird stuff. Yep. So, trying times for sure for everybody, but we're getting through them, and there are always challenges. Yeah, they said he was alive too, right? And they just kept moving Bernie along. I watched that when I was a lost man. Weekend at Bernie's. They just moved his corpse along, put glasses on him. Man, that was some weird stuff. Weekend at Biden's, I guess. Just kind of move his corpse along, I guess. That's what they're doing. But anyway, it's going to get interesting. I personally don't think, I mean, they can make anybody win they want to, obviously. But I personally don't believe that there's any way that woman could beat Trump anyway. So, but it's definitely getting interesting, isn't it? It's going to be a rocky road here for a while. But what a good time for a Bible study, right? Okay. Oh, excuse me. Sorry about that. I'm trying to yawn in your ear there. But a good time to look at the scriptures here. Take a break from politics a little bit there and just focus on the Word of God. And growing in your faith. Being strengthened in your faith is so important. I'm going to turn my air down here a little bit. It's a little cool in here. I just had to shut the turbo off. Turbo gets it kicked in real good and okay. So we are going to talk about enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. God's desire for us. Now, I know specifically that this text is dealing with pastors. But also pastors training other soldiers. So we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and look at these first four verses a little bit here. And however far we get, we'll go. And if we don't get finished, we'll pick it up again Wednesday. Definitely won't hurt us any. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. There is a need for spiritual strength today. It is God's grace that makes us strong. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Grace is found in Christ alone. Without him, we are always on shaky ground. There is no power to be a soldier without the grace of Almighty God. Our foundation is Christ alone. Without him, we are always weak. Strength comes from grace. No man can be a soldier of Christ without grace. You will give up and walk away. You will not be able to endure anything. When true afflictions come, false converts run. They quit. They give up. Because they don't have grace. I'll show you. Here they are right here. And have no root in themselves. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. And have no root in themselves. And so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. They're done. They quit. They don't want to do any more. That word endure, it means to last, to continue in the same state without perishing, to remain, to abide, to bear, to brook, to suffer, to support without breaking or yielding to force or pressures, to undergo, to sustain, to continue in, to endure. So those that do not have grace, they're not born again. They quit. They run. They give up and walk away. That's why he tells Timothy, thou therefore, my son. Timothy is doing the work of an evangelist, making full proof of his ministry. He's ordaining elders in every city. He's doing this work as an extension of the Apostle Paul's ministry while Paul is in prison. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. He tells him, Timothy, you be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And take what you have learned from me. This grace, this truth, this gospel. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The same commit thou to faithful men. You're to commit this truth to faithful men. Many men and women walk away from the Lord, and the reason they walk away is because they have no grace. It is not the man or the woman that merely profess Christ, but the one that has grace in his heart and is rooted and grounded in love that will not walk away. Trials will come. Testings will come. War is always imminent. Grace is of the Lord, and it is of the utmost importance. Spurgeon, when he was writing his book on lectures to my students, he exhorted them to make sure that they were soundly converted and born again, that they had come in repentance and faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. If you would do war, you must be full of God's grace. Paul said, you have heard of the grace of God for me. You have seen it in my life. You have seen the effects of grace in my life. Now then, this same preaching and teaching of grace, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The gospel first benefits us. Then we are saved by God's grace. But then it benefits others. It's to be passed on and given to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. They're able to preach. They're able to enter into the battle. Pastors are recruiting for the Lord's army. We are recruiters of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the grace of God. We're to preach the grace of God and to commit the preaching of the grace of God to all men everywhere. You see, with the Apostle Paul, military service was very familiar to him, especially in his imprisonments. He frequently would have had soldiers under drill, on parade, on guard, on the march. He'd be watching them cleaning and mending and sharpening their weapons, putting their armor on, putting it off, often during hours of enforced inactivity, said one. He must have compared these details with the details of the Christian life. And notice how admirably they corresponded one with another. Military service was also quite sufficiently familiar to those who he addressed. See, Paul is talking to these Gentiles and to these Jews that are saved. And Roman troops were everywhere to be seen throughout the length and the breadth of the empire. Nearly every member of society knew something of the kind of life when a soldier of the army, which a soldier of the army had to live. The Roman army was one of the greatest organizations of which it was still possible, in that age of boundless social corruption, to think and speak with right-minded admiration and respect. No doubt it was often the instrument of wholesale cruelties as it pushed forward its conquests or strengthened its hold or overresting of rebelling nations, but it promoted the discipline. See, it was a means of discipline for people, like it is now sometimes and has been for people. Even during active warfare, it checked individual license. It taught an order and a discipline. So Paul is using the narrative of the military. Military service involves self-sacrifice. That's why Paul is using it. Endurance. Discipline, vigilance, obedience, ready cooperation with others, sympathy, enthusiasm, loyalty. Military service implied vigilance. Unwearying, wearying, and organized foe. Military service was, it was such as perpetual warfare, perpetual preparation for war. And such is the Christian life, says Plummer. It is either a conflict or a preparation for one. Let me explain something to you, a principle of warfare. Christian warfare. You are either in conflict, spiritually you're in a battle, or you are preparing for one or being prepared for one. Always in this life is perpetual warfare. You are either in a battle or preparing for one. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You are most certainly to endure hardness. You are a soldier. If you are saved, if you are a child of God, you are part of the Lord's army. You ought to be in one of his churches under one of his generals and officers to lead you. Lone soldiers don't do well. Lone soldiers don't do well in the battle. The Christian must be prepared for trial and conflict. That's just it, Christian. You're to be prepared for trials, conflict, war. I like what one man said about this. He said, some of God's people seem to forget this. They think they are soldiers on paydays and at reviews. But as soon as the fiery darts begin to fall around them and the road gets rough and rugged, they fancy they are deserters. A strange mistake this. You are never so much a soldier as when you are marching or fighting. I fear the fault of this mistake lies very much with some of us who may be called recruiting sergeants in persuading men to enlist, because we speak much more of the ribbons, the bounty money, and the rewards than we do the battlefield and the march. Hence, perhaps the error. Most pastors are preparing people for a cakewalk. They're not preparing them for war. Most pastors are preparing people for nothing. They're not preparing them for the war that is here. They're kind of like checking into a post on Sunday morning and on Wednesday. But the preaching and teaching is not preparing them for the war of living the Christian life. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Look, I can do spooky with the best of them, okay? I really can. I can do spooky with the best of them. I could talk about all the devils, and I could talk about all the conspiracies, and I could talk about all the Illuminati, or in Carl's case, Aruminati. I can talk about all of those things, and I could fill up hours upon hours upon hours of spooky stuff. I could tell you how bad Hillsong's music is all day, and I could tell you how bad these other things are all day. But the truth is, and I do touch on those things, and I do warn people about those things. I've warned about all those things. And I think there's time to warn about those things. But the bulk of your Christian diet, the bulk of your Christian diet, mean it needs to be, how should I live? How should I live? How can I be strengthened to get through the day? How can I be a better husband? How can she be a better wife? How can we be better parents? How can we grow in the Lord? How can I be a better member of my local New Testament church? How can I serve the Lord effectively? How can I abstain from all appearance of evil? How do I walk with God? How do I raise my children? How do I live for God? How should I dress? How should I abstain from all appearance of evil? How should I stay away from worldliness? How should I do these things? That's the war you're in. Not the Crusaders novel of the latest chick comic book. If you're in that war, you're wasting your life. I'm not saying those things aren't real. They're just, that's not going to help my wife be a better mother or wife. Hyper-focusing on dark things. Spending too much time focusing on Peter Pan and Mickey Mouse. Isn't going to help you be a better wife or husband. Warning about that entertainment and everything, yes. But focusing on dark stuff, it's not going to do you any good. I'll tell you what it produces when that's all. I know when people listen to me. Now, I'll give you an example. If you're a member of Old Paths Baptist Church, you have more of a grounding if you're paying attention. You have preaching on sobriety, preaching on the King James Bible, preaching on living for God, preaching on raising your children for the Lord, preaching on being a better husband, a provider, preaching on all of these, preaching on holiness, separation, sanctification, walking with God, loving one another with a pure heart fervently. And warning against those other things are there. But you get a well-balanced diet of those things. But let me tell you what we've experienced, what I've seen. The people that only watch Hollywood Satanic Roots and all those other things, you know, some of those other things are, you know, honky-tonk music from hell and all that stuff. If that's all you, or any of those things, like, if that's all you've listened to from me, and you don't get how to walk with God, well, I can tell you're just a listener out there, listening to, like, the Illuminati stuff. Because you don't want to know how to live for God. Because let me tell you the kind of guys that I've dealt with out there that are like that. Here's what they've done. They watch my Hollywood and Disney stuff. They ignored my godly husband and godly other things. Right? Families and everything else. So the guy's married, he's not working, and he's beating his wife over the head, not literally, but figuratively, with how she celebrates Christmas while he's watching pornography and not living for God. So that guy listened to one aspect of my ministry. And ignored the biblical preaching and sound Christian living that is taught, that is practiced in this church. Right? What it produces is a bunch of immature men that go, ooh, 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 you watch Hollywood. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh, Disney, Mickey Mouse. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And you're like a fourth grader. Meanwhile, your wife has to deal with an immature little kid that acts like he's 12 years old. But you know how to point out how Mickey Mouse is a pervert. Oh, that's great. So you can point out Mickey Mouse is a pervert while your wife's got to be married to a 12-year-old and you're busting her chops over watching or practicing having Christmas or something. Right? They're not even getting down what is like. And then, by the way, those women end up hating me and I didn't do anything to them. They just hate me. Because their husband's a stinking jerk. If you think I walk around treating my wife like that or my daughters like that, you're a fool. I don't walk around treating anybody like that. It's just nonsense. But so the reason I'm saying that is because people are fighting a way different war. You're not fighting, if you're fighting that one, you're not fighting what I am or what the scriptures do. And the Bible says the same commit thou to faithful men. So the question I would ask you is, well, what are you teaching your wife all day? Right? What are you teaching your wife all? What are you teaching her? How bad Mickey Mouse is and how bad Christmas is? But not loving her? Or how dark the world is and teach her about the spooky things and dark things of the world? Why? You think showing your wife how, I don't know, just the screwiest stuff. I don't even want to get into it. I can't even put into words the stuff I hear from people. You think that's really what your wife needs to focus on? I'm not saying don't show them what's wrong with Disney and all that. I get that. But I'm saying it seems like people have an art for bringing out the darkest stuff all the time. It's because they really don't have any confidence in the Word of God that they're actually living for God, that they can teach you something profitable. Anyway. All right. Now I'll get back to my main lesson here. It's just I've watched it and I don't like it. I don't like how people use that stuff. When the Lord showed me these things about Disney and, you know, Hollywood and stuff like that, I certainly wasn't beating it over my wife's head. It wasn't anything like that at all. It was with humility. That's the way that it was. Okay. So he talks about being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and he talks about enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. One man says it this way: he must endure hardness. Thou therefore, all Christians, but especially ministers, are soldiers of Jesus Christ. They fight under his banner, in his cause, and against his enemies. For he is the captain of our salvation. Jesus Christ is called the captain of our salvation. For it became, Hebrews 2:10, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. He is the captain. The soldiers of Jesus Christ must approve themselves good soldiers, faithful to their captain, resolute in his cause, and must not give over fighting till they are made more than conquerors through him that loved them. Those who would approve themselves good soldiers of Jesus Christ must endure hardness. That is, we must expect it. We must count on it in this world. Thou therefore, you, that's the second thou therefore, you endure hardness. Endure hardness as a good soldier. We must expect hardness. We must count upon it. We must endure it and accustom ourselves to it and bear it patiently when it comes and not be moved by it from our integrity. Job had many afflictions and trials and persecutions and things come his way. Paul encourages Timothy to constancy and perseverance, says Matthew Henry, in his work. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We must be strong in this grace, not in ourselves, not in our own strength or in grace we have already received, but in the grace that is in him. Timothy must count upon sufferings, says Matthew Henry, even unto blood, and therefore he must train up others to succeed him in the ministry of the gospel. He must instruct others and train them up for the ministry and so commit to them the things which he had heard, and he must also ordain them to the ministry, lodge the gospel as a trust in their hands, and so commit it to them the things which he had heard. He must endure hardness. All Christians, but especially ministers or soldiers, they fight under his banner and in his cause against his enemies. A good soldier must fight on, must strive for the mastery. Amen. Lost my place here. The preacher is a soldier. Must endure difficulties like a soldier. Paul is again reminding Timothy. He's reminding Timothy of the hardships that accompany ministry. It's important to remind men that believe they are called to the ministry, to pastor, that hardships accompany the ministry. The preacher must, David Cloud says, the preacher must prepare himself mentally with the fact that he is a soldier in a spiritual war. And as such, he must endure whatever difficulties are necessary to win the war. Let's remember that. Must be prepared to endure hardness. Thou therefore endure hardness. We are all endangered by ease and self-indulgence. You know, the slightest bit of hardship that comes our way, we seem to think it must not be God's will, or it must be a terrible lot that we're in. We are all endangered by ease and self-indulgence. The soft south wind of worldly comfort enfeebles us. Dangerous, for to the soldier, nerveless strength is death. And for the great campaign requires on our part energy and courage. Lots of hardness. Lots of hardships come our way. I will tell you this. I could probably count on one hand. Maybe two. The people that are with me now or close to me now that were in the beginning. With me in this war. My wife, my mom and dad. Lee and Carrie. I think that's about it. That were with me in the beginning. Others came along and have been extremely faithful. I have had more that have turned on me and played the Judas against me. And it betrayed me. Then are with me. Still. Some could not endure the hardness. Some would not. My dad's doing good. He's doing a lot better. He's feeling a lot better. Still got a cough, but that's about it. It's clearing up, and he looks like he's going to bounce back pretty good. So... he's doing well. Praise the Lord for that. You know, Paul speaks of this present world. It's hard to suffer reproach and shame. How hard only those know who have felt the constant irritant of a relentless persecution for righteousness' sake. I suffer trouble, says Paul, as an evildoer. And this was the great trial of the early Christians. Not merely bonds and imprisonments, but the calamities which made them the scorn of men. The grace of God can sustain us in all our tribulations, but it requires hardness to endure as seeing him who is invisible. When the character is subjected to human scorn and hatred, Hannah's doing fine. She was just on here. If you look up the comment section here, just a few. She's on the monitor right now. Busy running after 8 children. Also, why don't you answer your church phone? Well, the number I have is my cell phone that's on there. And if I don't know the people, I don't answer it. I get a lot of crazy messages from people. So I don't answer them all. If I believe that it's necessary to answer it, then I do. If it's not, I don't. I just let it go. They can speak their piece and I don't have time to argue with them. So I'm not going to waste my time arguing with them. By the way, You're going to suffer afflictions. You're going to suffer tribulations. I've had people say the most rotten and awful things to me, accuse me of the most rotten and awful things that not one of them could prove. I've had them mail the most disgusting things to me you could ever imagine. Awful things. The most horrible things. Seemingly best friends betray you. People that I stood shoulder to shoulder with, preaching the word of God. Try to destroy me, try to destroy my family, try to destroy my ministry. That's why he tells him, endure hardness. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The minister is a soldier of Christ, enrolled by him, trained by him, armed by him, supported by him as the captain of our salvation. The ministry is a warfare involving not only the good fight of faith, but an increasing struggle against false teachers. You warn people about false teachers. You warn people. And trouble comes. As a good soldier, he must be prepared to suffer hardships like the soldier. He must often leave home and friends, expose himself to cold and hunger and fatigue. He must fearlessly meet the enemies of his Lord and die, if need be, in the arms of victory. Paul's preparing Timothy. He's saying, look, the same commit thou to faithful men, but don't forget to tell them. And show them that they're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The ministry is not the biblical ministry. Being a biblical pastor is not for somebody who can't do something else, so they decide to go into the ministry. It must be someone who's equipped from God to do it. The apostle strengthens his admonition by an appeal to his own hardships and suffering. Timothy took a sympathetic interest in the career of the greatest of the apostles. The supreme unembarrassed devotion of the soldier to his commander. No one that serveth as a soldier, no man that warreth, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath called him to be a soldier, who hath chosen him to be a soldier. No man that warreth entangleth himself. The Roman soldier was isolated by express law from all trades and interests and agencies that would interfere with the discipline of his profession. So I'm very careful about things that I do outside of the ministry work that I do. There's a time when you have to pay the bills and work outside of the ministry. Paul did his tent making and, you know, different things like that. But then there comes a time when that focus needs to be on the ministry. Because if it's not there, people get hurt. As a pastor, if I get entangled with the affairs of this life, other people can be hurt. If I get distracted. See, God showed me that about 7, 8 years ago. About 2017, he showed me that. Preacher, you're distracted. And God almost took my mind. Allowed my mind to be taken. Went through a serious bout of depression and anxiety, PTSD, all kinds of things. But God used it. God used it. As he showed me that I had been seduced from simplicity. I'd been distracted. If a mother gets distracted in as a soldier of Jesus Christ, if she gets distracted, her little platoon will be under attack. If she's distracted, her children can be hurt by her distraction. Maybe she's distracted on the internet, distracted with entertainment, distracted with amusement, distracted with other things. If a father or a husband gets distracted, then children, the family, the home can be hurt. Dangerous. Albert Barnes says this, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, such hardships as a soldier is called to endure." The apostle supposes that a minister of the gospel might be called, that it is reasonable that he should be as ready to do it as a soldier is. Paul spoke of the hardships that he endured. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 23 to 29. I'll tell you what we'll do. I'm going to take a little break and play a song, because then we'll get into this portion of the text here. And it'll maybe help you for a second.
I am looking to Jesus, giving all in the race, pressing upward to gain the heavenly prize. Faithful men are my witness who have struggled and died, and they watch from the grandstand in the skies. Faithful men are before our eyes.
footsteps. Make me, Lord, a faithful man. Jacob joined with the faithful, Joseph followed behind, Moses ran with the mighty men of old. There was David and Daniel, then came Peter and Paul. Now they chant as they run on streets of gold. Treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home world. They tell me that he smiles on his children there, and his smile drives their sorrows away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again in that lovely land of ours. Somber skies and howling tempests all succeed a bright sunshine in that land of perfect day. When the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we'll overcome, for we'll understand it better. Understand it better by
and by. Amen. All right. Soldiers are often to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul explains the afflictions that he went through as a minister. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. in stripes, above measure, in prisons, more frequent, in deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? So Paul tells you all the ways. A lot of what Paul is saying there sounds like a typical street preacher, an evangelist, and a pastor caring for a flock, that he would go through most of those things. Much of those, some of those obviously I've never done before, thank God. But, you know, I get it. So that's why Paul is saying what he's saying. Soldiers are often to endure great privations, taken from their homes and friends, exposed to cold and heat and storms and fatiguing marches, sustained on a coarse fare, almost destitute of food. They are often compelled to endure as much as a human frame can bear, and often indeed sink under their burdens and die. If for reward of their country's sake they are willing to do this, the soldier of the cross should be willing to do it for his Savior's sake and for the good of the human race. So you see, God is telling them, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, through the Apostle Paul, that there's a war and that they need to endure hardness. Paul is telling him, look, you're going to go through hardships. As a good soldier. Hence, let no man seek the office of the ministry as a place of ease. Let no one come into it merely to enjoy himself. Let no one enter it who is not prepared to lead a soldier's life and to welcome hardships and trial as his portion. He would make a bad soldier who at his enlistment should make it a condition that he should be permitted to sleep on a bed of down and always be well clothed and fed and never exposed to peril or compelled to pursue a wearisome march. Yet do not some men enter the ministry making these the conditions? And would they enter the ministry on any other terms? One man said it this way, endure hardships, never dream of delicacy. Think not to find God in the gardens of Egypt, whom Moses found not but in the burning bush. Many love Canaan, but loathe the wilderness. Commend the country, but look upon the conquest as impossible. They would sit in the seat of honor with Zebedee's children, but not drink the cup of affliction. These deceive themselves. See, sometimes we forget that God never said it was going to be easy to raise your children for the Lord. As a mother, as a father, to be a godly wife. So you're to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Trapp said this, as a good soldier, Christ saith to us, as the black prince's father sent to him fighting as it were in blood to the knees and in great distress, either vanquish or die, as the Prince of Orange said to his soldiers at the Battle of Newport, when they had the sea on one side and the Spaniards on the other. If you will live, you must either eat up these Spaniards or drink up this sea. See, the power of endurance is acquired by continuous drill. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Military service involves self-sacrifice, endurance, discipline, vigilance, obedience, ready cooperation with others, sympathy, enthusiasm, loyalty. Tertullian wrote this, "Even in peace, soldiers learn betimes to suffer warfare by toil and discomforts, by marching in arms, running over the drill ground, working at trench making, constructing, till the sweat runs again. In like manner do ye, O blessed ones, account whatever is hard in your lot as discipline of the powers of your mind and body. Ye are about to enter for the good fight in which the living God gives the prizes, and the Holy Spirit prepares the combatants, and the crown is the eternal prize of an angel's nature. Citizens in heaven, glory forever and ever. Therefore, your trainer, Jesus Christ, has been good to separate you from a state of freedom for rougher treatment, that power may be made strong in you." Amen. Military service was very familiar to Paul, especially in his imprisonments. He must frequently have seen soldiers under the drill on parade. Paul was in the battle of his life, spiritually. Not only ministers, but also all laymen should be Christ's ambassadors. Must a soldier be an officer in order to fight well? By no means. Minus gold lace and cocked hat, said one. He may do good service. Hard blows may be given, or a sure aim may be taken by him who is quite destitute of the ribbon or the medal. Thus it is spiritually. Eminent talent and honorable positions are non-essentials in benevolent effort. The humblest warrior in the Savior's army can be the valiant and victorious. And he ought to be. Excuse here is quite vain. None that are saved have a right to be idle. All are to evangelize. The work is not to be delegated to one order or class. Each is expected to take his share. What should we think of him who refused to rescue a drowning man because he was not connected with the Royal Humane Society? Let him that heareth as well as him that preacheth say, come. Everybody in the Lord's army, it behooves thee, said Chrysostom, it behooves thee not to complain if thou endure hardness, but to complain if thou dost not endure hardness. We are to be good soldiers in the battle. Paul, as a general who is detained and cannot get there, is sending war instructions of how to fight the battle. How to war a good warfare. He tells this young man in the fight to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Gather the troops for war, a good warfare. Commit to them the same gospel preaching and teaching. Endure hardness. Do not give up. Do not quit. Do not walk away. Do not desert your posts, but stand fast in the faith and quit you like men and be strong. Remember, this is no speculation that trouble will come. It's a promise. It's a guarantee. Don't be soft. You have to have a tender heart and a tough hide. Don't become hard-hearted, but you must endure hardness. Endure hardness, because if you are going to prepare an army for the Lord, enemies will come. Hardness will come. Hard circumstances are on the way. As a Christian, you will not find yourself in ideal situations. You will find yourself at war. You will find yourself on very tough terrain. You will find the battle long. You will find yourself in rough places. You'll be surrounded by enemies at time. Enemies within and enemies without. You have to endure hardness, because sometimes you will be confronted with situations that will not go away, afflictions that will not leave you, that you will have to learn to endure. And here is the real crux of the problem. Many men wish to pray away all their trials so they endure nothing. Many women wish the same, Christian women, that their trial would just simply end and they would endure nothing. Let me show you. Beloved, think it not a strange thing. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you, and on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? You're to endure hardness, to bear with patience without sinking under the load of what has been placed on you. He reminds him, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you are not a soldier of the Roman army, but you are a soldier of a heavenly kingdom. You are the Lord's soldier. You belong to the Lord. You are in his army as a soldier. And Paul, being a chief general in the Lord's army, is telling them, endure hardness, cold days, hot days, enemies, betrayal. One of the most difficult things for a Christian to deal with, especially a preacher, but anyone, any Christian in general, is betrayal. It is one of the hardest things, but it is one of the things that will make you the most Christ-like. It will literally make you the most Christ-like. It truly will. Because Christ was betrayed. He was wounded in the house of his friends. And many times, in order for God to use you the way that you need to be, you got to be wounded in the house of your friends. Endure hardness. Play the man for your God and fight the battles of the Lord. Your king has called you to defend and to fight his battles. So then you have to man up by the grace of God and fight. And with all those battles, you must remember that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. A soldier will be distracted, and an army will be distracted by foreign entanglements. Those foreign entanglements are dangerous. They distract us in the battle. If you are entangled with the affairs of this life, you cannot war a good warfare. If you're entangled by worldliness, if you want to lose your family, if you want to ruin your marriage and lose your family and lose your children's hearts, then be entangled with the affairs of this life. Be entangled with worldliness, and you'll lose them. Worldliness seduces and distracts us. It seduces us and distracts us from what God has commanded us to do. If you are entangled with the affairs of this life, you cannot war a good warfare. Some men become consumed with politics, sports, entertainment, amusement, or the love of money, or even their employment, so much so that they are entangled. The Bible warns us that the love of money is the root of all evil. And they get entangled with it. Pastors have to be careful not to get distracted. By the affairs of this life. That's why the more that people are faithful, and really the people of Old Paths Baptist Church, but also you all, in giving and being a blessing to our church and our family, and our, it keeps me from being distracted by the world or by having to go out and chase a buck somewhere. But I can keep doing the work that God has called me to do. Keep busy with that work. Not be distracted. Not be taken by something else. Some men are more concerned with politics. They're more concerned with entertainment, amusements. All tangled up, twisted, or interweave in such a manner as to be easily separated, to make confused or disordered, to involve in anything complicated, that word entangled, from which it is difficult to extricate oneself, as to entangle the feet in a net. We don't want to be entangled with the affairs of this life, that we may please him who hath called him to be a soldier. So many of God's people are distracted today. Not just pastors, but his people. They're distracted. They can't give to the Lord's work. They can't focus on the Lord's work. They can't evangelize. They can't. Why? They're just distracted by everything. They're not warring like a soldier. Let us understand the meaning of the injunction. Endure hardness. The reference is to the life of privation and suffering, which a soldier, far more in those times than now, had to undergo, and which in all times he is expected to bear without murmuring, to endure willingly as a part of that profession which he has voluntarily embraced. Endurance is not merely bearing suffering, but bearing it manfully. To bear hardship with the spirit of a hero is to endure hardness as a good soldier. Samuel Rutherford, when in prison, used to date his letters from Christ's Palace in Aberdeen. The old Baptists would do that too when they were the 40 imprisoned Baptist pastors, James Ireland. He would write, "From my palace in Culpeper." They were willing to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. A good soldier has to be drilled. He has to learn his business. A good soldier is not to be made in a day. There must be time and pain spent upon him. He must be trained and taught that very carefully before he is fit to fight against the enemies of his country. And it is just the same with Christian soldiers. They have to learn to act together so as to support and help one another in the conflict with evil. And then they have to learn to use their weapons. They have to endure hardness and learn to use their weapons. Good soldier. He must endure the hardships that come his way. Besides, and lastly, says Spurgeon, if I want another argument to make you good soldiers, remember your captain, the captain whose wounded hands and pierced feet are tokens of his love to you, redeemed from going down to the pit. What can you do sufficiently to show your gratitude? Assured of eternal glory by and by, how can you sufficiently prove that you feel your indebtedness? Be good soldiers because the victory which awaits you. Spurgeon said, I implore you to be good soldiers of Jesus when you consider the fame that has been preceded you. A soldier, when he receives his colors, finds certain words embroidered on them to remind him of the former victories of the regiment in which he serves. Remember the prophets, remember the martyrs. By the way, I exhort you who are soldiers, said Spurgeon of Christ, to be good soldiers because many of you have been so. Dishonor not your past. Fall not from your high standing. Forward be your motto. Soldiers are always marching forward. Always marching. He must be prepared. A good soldier is prepared for trial and conflict. Soldiers are the result of war. And if there were no war, there would be no soldiers. He enlisted to fight. For this purpose, he is armed and trained and drilled. What is implied in being a soldier of Christ is implied that Christ is a king, that he has enemies, that he has an army, and that the person spoken of belongs to his army. Good soldier is patient, not enlisted for a day, but for life. Often put where there is nothing to excite or gratify ambition, there will be the long, wearisome march or the still more wearisome halt. While his comrades are assaulting cities and winning victories, he has to stand and watch or lie and suffer. A soldier is self-denying. A soldier is modest. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. His exhortation to Timothy is not to fight well, but to endure, or as the same word, to suffer afflictions. He thinks of the soldier being drilled and disciplined for the fight. As a prisoner at Rome, he would be very probably a daily eyewitness of the severe training through which the emperor's troops had to pass. These were good soldiers of Caesar. They were true patriots, laying upon the altar of their country their very lives. Now Timothy was, like the apostle himself, a soldier, but the soldier of a very different king from Caesar, and have a very different warfare to wage than such wars as the Roman soldiery were so frequently engaged in. He was a soldier of Jesus Christ. Let me remind you that there is a hardness to be endured by all of us. Christianity means today, as it always did, continual cross-bearing. The word duty has still a rough edge. For example, here is a Christian merchant, right? He tells the story of different merchants and trials and challenges that come your way. That they must stand for Christ in every aspect of their life. Stand against worldliness, stand against compromise. You're to endure hardness. We are to take to our task kindly. We are not to despise the cross that is laid upon us. We are not to run out of the way of duty. We are not to rebel when our master chastens us. As a good soldier, endure hardness. A soldier must endure hardness in standing his ground. A Christian soldier often finds himself as hotly assaulted by the world, the flesh, and the devil, that he is unable to advance a foot, but a firm resisting stand is conquest. He has to stand, therefore, having his loins girt about with truth. Sometimes you don't get to march forward. Sometimes you just got to stand and fight spiritually and deal with it spiritually. You don't get to get out of it. You can't slash your way through it. You just got to stand and fight. And endure hardness. It doesn't go away. The trial won't stop. The afflictions won't stop. The pain won't stop. The suffering won't stop. A soldier must endure hardness in marching. The chief care of one who has a long march before him is to be well shod. Have his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The boots, right? Otherwise, guess what? If your feet's not shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, if you don't have those gospel boots on, things so insignificant as thorns and briars will occasion suffering and may unfit the soldier for the fight. So the lesser vexations and petty cares and trials of patience in everyday life, if not guarded against, will weary and wound the feet of the souls. As Bishop Horn calls the affections and foot sores as wearied, he'll be ill-prepared for those special encounters with the enemy to which he is always liable. If you don't learn to get through the normal disturbances of your life, the normal afflictions and challenges and trials of everyday Christian living, you're going to be consumed. The soldier has to endure hardness in action. Although many an earthly soldier endures who is never crowned, no soldier of Christ is overlooked in the day of victory. The condition is endurance. Endurance. To keep fighting the good fight of faith. Do it for your own sakes to endure. But we go further and say endure hardness also because it is the manifest will of God. See what pains God takes to teach us that it is his will. The everlasting hills are full of their mineral riches, but to get them, men must drive the tunnel and sink into the shaft. The soil teems with the golden harvest, but to win them, the man must scatter his seed in the furrow and breathe hard breath over the plow. Nature has priceless secrets in her possession, but she holds them out to us clenched in a granite hot hand, which sheer labor must unclasp. Everywhere in nature, God teaches us the same great lesson. Anything worth having is not to be had for nothing. Endure hardness also because it is the training school of worth. When God wants a nation to do him a high service, to fight his battles, to wrestle in his arenas, then he gives that nation labors and sorrows. Look what he did to Israel when he pulled them out, what he took them through. Endure hardness, scorn sloth, embrace labor, despise shame, practice self-denial in the path of duty, because Christ did it. It is the will of Christ, because there is no virtue and there is no holiness possible without it. Amen. It is a war. It is a battle. It is a fight. The will of the Lord. Amen. Fight on, Christian soldier. That's what God commands you to do. Fight. To fight on. A soldier must be ready to endure. And that hardness, fortitude, weakness, and effeminacy have ever accompanied the latter stages of all human civilization. Either society actually rottens and falls to pieces by the dissolving influences of its own devices, of its own vices, or weakened by indulgence, it falls a ready prey in its turn to the sword of some ruder but manlier enemy. In the ancient nations of the world, such has been the invariable process. The question has often been asked, does the law still hold good, and must the nations of modern Europe decay and die, and the great nations of antiquity have done? If we had nothing but human nature to look to, the reply would be an unhesitating yes. But we have another element in our case, what our Lord calls the leaven, to spread its own healthy influence through the otherwise fermenting mass of humanity. If Christianity keeps us from effeminacy, it will keep us from ruin. I cannot for a moment doubt its power, because it is the power of God. But it therefore follows that if it is to save us, it must be a real Christianity, a Christianity such as God originated and such as God will work by. Now it is, I think, the most serious thing in the present condition of the world that not only has a luxurious civilization weakened the domestic virtues, especially among some women whose extravagances have become almost a satire upon womanhood. I say among women, because the love of athletic sports to a considerable degree checks the tendency among men, that our Christianity itself has caught the infection and is demoralized by self-indulgence. The effeminacy has reached even our religion. Words and sentiments take the place of deeds. The charm of the eye and the ear are substituted for great inward principles. The grandest truths are welcomed, admitted, admired, but not acted upon in daily life. The church is enormously below her own standard. A refined self-indulgence spreads everywhere. And if it continues to spread till it touches the very heart of the church and nation, then indeed there can be no hope for us. I cannot doubt that it is a providential object of the struggles of faith belonging to our day to revive the manliness, the independence, the reality, and the power of our religion. Just as nations amid sufferings and disaster recover the manly virtues which have rusted in prosperity and ease, there are many obvious reasons for cultivating a more robust and manly earnestness in our religion. Amen. A robust earnestness is due. It is due to the character of the great master whom we serve. We look up to the captain of our salvation, and every imaginable motive which can nerve the human heart combines to inspire us with dauntless courage and unflinching fortitude. A robust earnestness is due to the necessities of the work. God takes every possible precaution in his word that we should count the cost before we enlist under our captain's banner. We have indeed divine strength to help us, but it is given to help, not to supersede. Our battles requires all our strength, and nothing less will suffice. The very saints hardly press into the kingdom. They take it by violence, and the violent take it by force, and enter like soldiers after a hard-fought fight, wounded, bleeding, and weary, but conquering. And this endurance of hardness is the more necessary because not only are our habits of personal self-denial and self-restraint, watchful devotion, and earnest effort the conditions of victory, but they are the actual parts of the victory themselves. Manly vigor is due to the abundance of the reward. Salvation itself is not of reward, but it is all of grace. But once let the soul find Christ, let it be accepted within the family circle, let it fairly take service beneath the banner of Christ as a faithful soldier and servant of the crucified master, and then God deals with it by rewards. Amen. A manly warfare. Fighting the good fight of faith, laying hold on eternal life. Amen. It's a war. It's a battle. And it needs to be fought. Right? It needs to be fought in the power of the Lord.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me and bless his holy name. Sing praises to his majesty and all his works proclaim.
Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and bless his holy name. We celebrate the Father's gift, oh, let the anthem ring. With grateful hearts we welcome him, our prophet, priest, and king.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me and bless his holy name.
Everybody, God bless you. Hope you learned some things. Hope it'll help you strengthen your faith and grow you in the Lord. That's the goal. That is truly the goal. So, Lord willing, that we'll do that. And we'll see you back here on Wednesday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Excuse me, 2 p.m. Central Time. And if you would like to, number one, pray for our ministry, we could use it. We can always use the prayers, okay? And if you'd like to give to our ministry, you may do so. You can give through PayPal. That's salvationpreacher@gmail.com, salvationpreacher@gmail.com. Or you can give through Apple Pay or Venmo, Pastor Cooley at iCloud.com, okay? or you can give through, you can mail us a check. Our address is at the bottom of the page, 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. All right. Anyway, God bless you all. Take care, and we'll see you on Wednesday.